Now I'm on episode 126, so where my killer tape at? I'm going to talk about how to avoid hangovers, because I know everybody's turning up right now, if you got vaccinated. I'm going to talk a little bit about respectability politics, and I'm going to give you a spoiler-free review of Black Widow. And I got something for the health segment there, too. Check it out. Tape at, B. For this episode of Where My Killer Tape At, I'm sipping on Seven Suns Brewing Scientist IPA. The joint got mad kick. If you ever been to the Seven Sun Brewing Company, they got a nice bar out of Columbus. They really dope. Shout out to the Barrel House for putting me on. Word. So I did see Black Widow. I'm not going to spoil it for y'all. And I'm going to just say this. I didn't have high expectations. I didn't go in there thinking it was going to be like the Winter Soldier. I did expect like more action and more political intrigue. We got some political intrigue, you know, some spy stuff, but there wasn't enough action. There wasn't action that I was expecting. Again, I'm not saying it was going to be like Winter Soldier, but I kind of felt like you're going to have Taskmaster, who's my second favorite villain, by the way. And when somebody asks me what kind of powers I want, I always say I want Taskmaster's powers. Just throwing that out there. I expected to see like more fight scenes with Taskmaster in there, like seeing Taskmaster more in action, like, you know, assassinating people and stuff like that. But that didn't really happen. And then I thought I would see more of the characters from the Red Room doing more fighting as well, like to see them really at work. And you don't really get to see them really at work. There was some things that just was like, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? And I know I shouldn't be thinking about that like with a MCU movie. To be quite honest, this movie would have better served as if it was released like in between. If it was released like after the events of Civil War, because it takes place after the events of Civil War, Captain America Civil War. So I think if they had put it there, it would have came off better. Or if they made it a Disney Plus show and broke it down into small episodes, it probably would have served much better that way. It just didn't do it for me. The end credit scene didn't really wasn't like a breakthrough for me. It just wasn't worth going to the movies to see. So here we are, you know, we don't, a lot of people are saying that maybe it's just the timing, right? Because we haven't seen an MCU movie in 2 years, right? A little bit under 2 years. And then we go see this and it's kind of like, yeah. And, you know, it wasn't worth it. It just wasn't worth me paying money to go see it at the theater and sneaking in snacks and all that stuff. I expected it to be a lot better. Even my partner and my youngest, because my youngest came with me, they were like, you know what I'm saying? It was lackluster. It's not something that, like, I feel like you have to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, because let me say this. I'm not a fan of Doctor Strange, but the movie was dope, and you got to watch it, right? Same thing with, like, Ant-Man. I never was a fan of Ant-Man. The Ant-Man movies are good, though. So I didn't see Ant-Man one in the theaters, but I did see Ant-Man and the Wasp in the theaters, and those were both really good. And you kind of got to watch those to really understand what's going on in the MCU. But with the Black Widow, you can actually skip that. So I say skip it. So let's talk about respectability politics, because it's come up again. I know I've talked about it on the show, but it's been a minute. And respectability politics is this idea that a particular person from a marginalized group can protect themselves from being oppressed or abused by another group if they dress a certain way or behave a certain way or meet a particular set of standards, right? So the idea that if you are not wearing a flag, the police won't stop you. You know what I mean? So don't wear a flag. Or if you dress a particular way, no one's going to rape you. Like, and that's what we mean by that. People use it to kind of like, it's a form of victim blaming, right? Because you say, oh, the reason why this happens to your group is because y'all act this way and y'all do this. And if you acted better, you get treated better. You know what I'm saying? So you know, like, I know the police use it a lot. They try to say, oh, well, you wouldn't be brutalized if y'all just stop acting like criminals. You know what I'm saying? So, and I know it's come up a lot lately online with a lot of, and I'm going to say this. I'm 48. Most people in my generation deal in respectability politics because we were told, we were raised that way. And so was the previous generation, that you have to act a certain way around white folks. You have to be a certain way so that certain things won't happen to you. So that's something we kind of believed in and upheld. So when you see somebody like a celebrity like Monique, she's like a little bit older than me, but she's from my generation. I wasn't surprised that she deals with respectability politics. Like I said, most people my age, they deal with it, right? And it's something that I'm still trying to unlearn because, you know, like I said, I was raised that way. My peers were raised that way. And those are the belief systems that we, especially when I was like a no-tep, when I was hardcore into that, I really dealt in respectability politics. So, and I'm not saying like, oh, let her get away with it, or I'm justifying when somebody my age does it. But I just want you to not be surprised. That's all I'm saying. So if you go to the cookout and your uncle is like, hey, you need to dress this way, or you need to stop talking like this, or whatever, whatever. I'm not saying don't, you know, push back. I'm just saying just don't be surprised. Don't, you know, understand that that's how we were kind of like raised. You know what I'm saying? Word. So, you know, like when I go out drinking, I usually, of course, like most people, I post it on the gram. And I usually be drinking some really hardcore stuff. And then the next day people will see me training capoeira, or they'll see me doing something else. And they be like, bro, you not hungover? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a professional, man. I know how to do this. So I am going to give you the tips that you need so that you won't get hungover. All right. Y'all ready for this? Tip number one, stay hydrated before, during, and after drinking. That's really what it is, plain and simple, especially when it's hot. So I know, like, but it's funny because I got into a debate with somebody at work where we were outside working in the garden, and they were like, oh my God, it's so hot out here. And I said, you're probably dehydrated. And they were like, well, I had a whole bottle of water before I came out here. And I said, yeah, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Have you been drinking water all day? And they were like, no. I said, well, you're not really technically hydrated. So you have to stay hydrated throughout the day. Now, you know, if that happens to you where you're not staying hydrated, you know, throughout the day, then you might want to drink a couple of glasses of water before you start drinking. Matter of fact, I pregame drinking water, but throughout the day, I have a habit. I've been doing this for like 20 years where I just drink water consistently throughout the day. Will you be using the bathroom a lot? Yeah. So what? But you that's one step to avoid being hungover. The second step is, I do not day drink. I know people be like, oh, and I'm like, nope, I don't day drink. You're cruising for a bruising when you day drink. Because what happens is when you day drink, you start drinking it around, you know, like let's say, for example, you go to a barbecue, you start drinking at about 1 or 2 o'clock and you drink the whole day. And you're the drinking a lot more than you A, eat, or B, drink water. And that's really bad. And I know a lot of people that day drink and they start feeling terrible in the middle of the night. So I don't day drink. If I do, which is very rare, I really honestly can't remember the last time I drank in the daytime. I usually start drinking after 7 o'clock. So that's, which leads into my next one. But people do this all the time. Do not drink without a full meal. This is why I don't go to happy hour. I don't go to happy hour because I still have to eat dinner. And I eat dinner at a particular time. I'm when it comes to eating food, food, I'm particular about what times that I do my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's been the same way pretty much for my entire life. And I try not to deviate from that because I need to eat. So if I haven't eaten, I'm not going to drink. I usually eat a full meal. I don't eat like appetizers. People go to happy hours and they eat appetizers and then they start drinking. This is not a good idea to drink on an empty stomach. So I usually end up drinking later. So that's why if I go to a happy hour, I might pull up and eat some food and then just joke with y'all. Like I might eat some appetizers and then do that. So you have, right now we have three. So number four is don't drink cheap shit. Like, why y'all insist on drinking cheap shit? Like, I drink top shelf stuff. And here's, and you know, I know the top shelf stuff is expensive, but you get more bang for your buck. So you don't have to drink four glasses of that particular rum if it's cheap. You can drink two glasses of that particular rum and you'll be good. You get a nice buzz going. So, you know, drinking that cheap stuff, man, it's just not worth it. Which leads to my last one, right? Because it's good quality stuff, you don't guzzle. Now, all right, I'm going to say this. If I pull up somewhere and somebody comes through and it's their birthday or their wedding anniversary, I'll take one shot. But taking eight shots in one in 10 minutes, bad idea. Good liquor, good alcohol, good beer, good wine is made to be sipped, not guzzled. And I see a lot of y'all guzzling. You want to be a bigger man, you want to be the bigger person and all that, but you're cruising for a bruising, man. So do not guzzle. Take your time. You know what I mean? That's what you're supposed to enjoy. Good liquor tastes good. I don't care what nobody says. The beers that I drink taste good. The hard liquor I drink tastes good. The wine that I drink, they taste good. And it's like anything. It's just like if you eat good food, you don't take good quality food and just shove it down your throat. You eat it and you savor each bite. Especially enjoy it with the person that you're with. So that's how you kind of got to look at it. So those are the five tips I hope to help you out so you could avoid being hungover. Also, you know, like I said, for number one, the next morning, just make sure you drink a lot of water. So there you have it. Peace. So I got to ask this question. Shout out to my Twitter followers. And they were talking about what martial art they should try. Now, really, like me for real, I'm gonna be like, oh, do capoeira. But yo, I don't even though I consider myself a capoeira evangelical, I don't do that no more. Because what I learned is capoeira is not for everybody. Either you can do it or you can't. Doesn't mean that you out of shape. Doesn't mean that you trash. It just means that it's just not for you. So somebody asked me, what capoeira should I try? Now, the first question I always ask them is, what are you trying to do? You know, are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to stay in shape? Do you want to compete in combat? You know what I'm saying? Do you want to do it for self-defense? You know, do you want it to supplement what the training that you already do? Because let me just say this. You should cross train. Everybody should cross train. I think that's probably the best thing for your body is to cross train. That being said, so like I ride bicycle and I do capoeira and I jump rope and I do cardio. You know what I'm saying? So I cross train. So everybody should kind of like, and I go hiking, right? So like, that's how you should do it. So martial arts to either supplement, you know, for me, in my opinion, so why do I do capoeira? I do capoeira, number one, because I love it, but also because I teach it to young black youth. So why did I say young black youth? I teach it to young black people. And I want to pass that culture down. Those are the two reasons why I do it. Because I'm already in shape, right? So, you know, so what are you trying to do? Are you trying to stay in shape? You know, are you trying to lose weight? Are you, which is two different things. They're not mutually exclusive, though. Losing weight and staying in shape. Just a FYI. I'd probably talk about that in a different podcast episode. You know, do you want to learn the culture? Do you like it? Like some people like Kung Fu, so they're going to take Wushu, right? And then once you figure that out, like once you figure out, you know, what do you want to do? Then you go from there. Because say, for example, you want to stay in shape, then I will tell people box. You know what I mean? Because the practice and the training and the warm-up you got to do to box will fucking whip you into shape. I'm being dead ass. You will lose weight and all that shit. I'm trying to tell you. So you're just trying to be in shape. I tell people do boxing because everything that works up to the actually going into the ring, you know what I mean, is work. It's a lot of hard. That's why a lot of people quit boxing because before you even start punching the bag, you have to do all this stuff to get ready. So that's just an example. right? Of what you once you figure that out. Now, the second thing is also affordability. You know what I mean? Because being in martial arts is expensive. That's why I teach it for free, right? So it's expensive. It really is an expensive hobby, especially if you take martial arts, like, for example, like karate. You have to pay to get promoted. You know what I mean? So you got to buy the gis. The gis are not cheap, you know, so it's expensive. So affordability will probably be the next thing. Unless your daddy Warbucks, then it don't matter. But and then also your schedule, like what is your schedule? And what's cool is that, you know, everybody, depending on where you go, like, for example, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, BJJ, right? It's everywhere. You know what I mean? So in your little town, you might have 5 different gyms that teach BJJ. So like you could, you know what I'm saying? Like scheduling, some of them have, I've seen dojos that have 7 days a week. They teach BJJ. They teach different levels each day and they even have their kids. So a lot of times you can just go on their website and they'll tell you all their schedules and how it looks like for the calendar month. So, you know, but scheduling is important because if you work a particular hours, you might want to work, you might want to train after hours. You might want to train during lunchtime or you just want to train on the weekends. It all depends. So scheduling is important. Be prepared for life changes because things happen, right? I've seen it happen at Capoeira all the time. You might get a promotion that asks you to work more hours or you might get a shift change, you know, because you want to make a little bit more money, right? You might end up going to school, you know, and that just takes up more of your time. So be prepared for those life changes because they happen. You know, people get married and then now they have less time. When you get married and have kids, you have less time to do stuff for yourself. So, you know, life gets in the way. I never take it personal when a student doesn't come to class because it's just things happen. Now, as long as they're okay, I'm okay because sometimes people get hurt. So, but I hope that helps you out in making those decisions. The cool thing is that a lot of martial arts places, they have like free trials. Like some of them have, you know, first 4 classes free, you know, first week free. So you can really shop around, especially now that COVID is over. There's going to be a lot of places that are going to allow you to do that. You could really, really, really shop around. Some places that don't have free classes or free trials, like they'll have like, you could drop in, you know, you pay like a fee of like $10 and you just drop in and see how you like it. But I say shop around, man. Don't get caught up in contracts because contracts, you know, the big dojos do that where they'll put you in a 6-month contract or a 12-month contract and you got to go to those. So you pay X amount per month no matter how many classes you go to. I avoid those. I really do avoid those. I recommend avoiding those because what if you get in there and you don't like it, which happens a lot, or you don't like the instructor, or there's a life change. There's just so many things that happen. So, you know, shop around, man, for real. Like, really, y'all have it really good than how it was when I started. You can really, really, because when I started, it was only one place that taught capoeira. So now y'all can shop around and see what they have. So do that. I highly recommend that. I hope this helps out. Work. Yo, shout out to the big homie, Seiku. We just did a quick interview for his documentary. He's always put me on since day one. I met him in like 98. So he's always put me on. Like, you know, he's someone that taught me, you know, the concept of IEUE. So that's crucial. Definitely shout out to my local book club, the Nora Book Club, Dayton Nora Book Club. We're going to change it to the Dayton Nora Book and Wine Club. So we revamped, not only did we relaunch, we revamped the book club concept and we're going to have wine and we're going to be supporting a black woman-owned business at the same time. So shout out, because that was their idea. You know what I mean? It wasn't my idea at all. So definitely, definitely, word. Yes. There you have it. Another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. If you want to book your mans for a workshop, whether it's capoeira, breaking, or you want me to talk about hip-hop culture, or being a black male feminist, hit me up on the website, omisbench.com, and bench is spelled D-E-N-C-H.com. If you just want to hit me up on the Twitters, you know where I'm at, at Dan Trezomi, D-A-N-T-R-E-S-O-M-I. And the official Twitter for the show is Omis Podcast, that's O-M-I-S Podcast, right? You know, and if you want to continue the discussion, use the hashtag where my killer tape at, killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. Yo, do me a solid, man. Support the show. You can subscribe, you know what I mean, for 99 cents a month, man. You could do that. Or if you, you know, if you big money, you could do $5 a month. The link will be in the show notes. Or if you want to buy a present or you a coffee snob like myself, you could always buy a coffee mug, man. I'm trying to reach 100 mugs sold for the year 2021. I'm only at 4, so please help a brother out. Word.